Country Pop FM.
Monday Bob Almanac. Let's start it out on a strong foot here, the right foot on a high note. It's today, and we're started out with the Bob Almanac salute.
Thank you, Tommy Oliver. Well, welcome back. Once again, for Name That Tune, where big things can happen here, as we found out the last time out. All of our contestants have been pre-tested, pre-selected. They're waiting backstage, not knowing who
we
is going to be called.
We lost one of the classic game show hosts of the 70s and 80s, and even before that, but Tom Kennedy passed away over the weekend. He was 93. You know, he never really had his own show. He always seemed to be like a fill-in, or the guy that would come in after the guy that was known for hosting that show. There he is, Name That Tune. But when I think Name That Tune, I think of Jim Lang as the host of that show. And then he filled in for Alan Ludden on Password. Yeah. And then he did the nighttime Price is Right instead of Bob Barker for the nighttime show. So
Tom Kennedy, for me, is Name That Tune. That was the one I knew him best. Yeah. I mean, Jim Lang, for me, was Dating Game. So,
well, yeah, but Jim Lang was also Name That Tune. I'd like you to look up and see who hosted Name That Tune. I definitely remember Tom Kennedy from Name That Tune. Who hosted Name That Tune longer? Was it Tom Kennedy or was it Jim Lang?
Well, I can do a little fact-checking here.
So that's Tom Kennedy, dead at the age of 93. Today, Monday, October 12th, 286th day of the year, 80 half days, 80 partial. If you include today, it's 80 days, but we don't like to include today. We like to say full days. Today's almost halfway done. It's 79 full days left in the year 2020. This was the date that Christopher Columbus, it is Christopher Columbus Day, or Indigenous Peoples Day, or for other people, it's Canadian Thanksgiving.
Sure.
I also believe it's National Apple Fritter Day, National Dual Tire Day, National Hydraulic Takeoff Day, all kinds of stuff. Monday, October 12th. Here today, Christopher Columbus. This is the day that he sighted land and landed, made landfall in what he thought was East Asia. He thought he had found Asia while attempting to find a Western route for trade. He's going to get rich off trade and help Queen Isabella and Ferdinand of Spain. They're going to make a lot of money off of cinnamon and various spices. But instead, he discovered the Americas, which is kind of a big deal. It's now controversial, of course, with what he did after he landed on the land, right, Neil?
Yeah, I'm fact checking. Don't bother me.
That's right. Yep. You're not the best multitasker.
Well, now this one is very convoluted. Believe me,
it is. I'm sure it's very difficult. The other deal with this is that Christopher Columbus, it's somewhat confusing because some say that he went to his grave, he went to his death, thinking that he had found Asia. And there are other conflicting reports that say, no, he had realized after maybe a second or third voyage that it was actually a new continent and he hadn't made it to Asia. Your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Do you think Christopher Columbus went to his deathbed thinking that he had found the new route to Asia? Or was it a new continent?
I think new continent.
Okay. Amerigo Vespucci would probably have something to say about that. But that was this date, 1492. 1609 here this date. Speaking of Name That Tune, name this tune, Neil.
Okay. Three blind mice.
Pretty tough when it starts out.
Three blind mice, yeah.
See how that one I know. Three Blind Mice, published in London, 1609. I didn't realize it was that old of a song. And a rhyme, a very fun children's rhyme about blind mice getting around with their dark glasses and their little cane. On this date, 1609, and who would have thought that later on in 370-some years or whatever it was, that it would be the theme to the Three Stooges.
Right.
So that was this date, 1609. 1901, President Teddy Roosevelt was the one who named the executive mansion the White House. Now, I think they may have called it, colloquially, the White House prior to this. What do you think?
It could have happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Teddy Roosevelt renamed the executive mansion. It's more of an off-white or maybe an eggshell.
I would say...
I've never seen it in person, so
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It looks white when I've seen it on
certainly,
TV.
Certainly, especially after they get Blue Sky Services out there to clean it up.
Right.
So the White House, named the White House by Teddy Roosevelt, 1908. This is a bad day in Carlton County, Minnesota. Northwestern Minnesota, Carlton County, just south of Duluth and north of Hinckley and north of Sandstone. It was the Cloquet Moose Lake fire. Kills 453 people, injures or displaces 52,000. The fire left much of western Carlton County devastated. Moose Lake, Cloquet, Kettle River. That was this date, 1918. 1933, here this date, we have this.
Welcome to the Rock.
Yeah, they were telling people, welcome to the Rock. Sean Connery wasn't there doing the honors, but Alcatraz Island became a federal maximum security prison on this date, 1933. 1960.
The 1960 session of the United Nations General Assembly convenes one of the most momentous diplomatic gatherings in modern history, with the crisis-ridden Congo, one of 13 African nations admitted, along with Cyprus, to bring UN membership to a new high of 96. Nearly all are represented by high officials. Nikita Khrushchev leads a parade of Soviet and satellite chieftains unprecedented.
Nikita Khrushchev was at the UN, and this was the time that he took his shoe off and started slamming it on his desk.
Sure.
He was trying to kill a fly. Might have been the one that was on Mike Pence's head during the debate last week.
We're
not sure,
been.
But Nikita Khrushchev, and then a lot of the people around him said, put that shoe back on, Nikita. Nikita Khrushchev looks like a guy that would have a problem with foot odor.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
So that was this date at the UN. The Cold War, it was especially chilly because you had Eisenhower up there talking at the podium. You had Khrushchev sitting back at the desk out in the gallery. And it was chilly, to say the least. You know, they just had the U-2 spy plane thing. And
sure.
And then in a few years, what would happen in a few years, Neil?
The Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right. Ding, ding. Got it right. So that was this date, 1960. 69, let's pull out the White Album, Revolution Number 9. Play it backwards. Sure sounds like Turn Me On, Dead Man to me. Doesn't it sound like that?
Yeah.
Turn Me On, Dead Man. Turn Me On, Dead Man.
Turn Me On, Dead Man.
So that was the whole Paul is Dead craze that began this date because a radio DJ took that song, Revolution Number 9, played it backwards. And I don't know how he got the tip, what made him do it. You know, was it somebody who said, yeah, do this. We're going to start a controversy.
Yeah.
Paul is dead.
It was a very savvy play.
On this date in 1969. How about 1979? First ever NBA three-point basket.
Oh.
1979. The ABA had it, I think,
for
since
sure.
their beginning,
yeah.
since the ABA started. And
I
other leagues
so.
Had tried it. But the NBA was kind of slow to it. They called it gimmicky.
Uh-huh.
And it was Chris Ford, who eventually would be the head coach of the Boston Celtics.
Sure.
It was also Larry Bird's first game.
1979.
It was a 114-106 win versus Houston. Now the three-pointer. Everybody,
they take more three-point shots than two-point shots.
Right, and their offenses are now designed. Back then, three-point was almost a desperation thing they set up.
Yeah.
Now they design their offenses around the three-point basket, which some say make it unwatchable. At times.
At times.
At times. 1985, let's remember Johnny Olsen.
All right, Bob, it's Juanetta Wesley. Come on down. You're the next contestant of The Price is Right.
More game show fun as we remember Johnny Olsen. He died on this date at the age of 75. He's the one who came up with the whole come on down thing.
It worked.
And they're still using it here today. This date in 87.
Any pitch could be the last. Reardon has it. The Minnesota Twins are in the World Series.
What an unlikely bunch of heroes here. The Minnesota Twins, 1987. Boy, we were riding high. We were...
Oh, so fun.
We were euphoric.
Yes.
And who knew we would go on? I mean, the sky was the limit after that. You beat the Tigers. We were heavy underdogs.
Yes, we were.
And that was Game 5 this state, Tiger Stadium. Twins won the series. And then, of course, later that night, they showed up at the Metrodome. 50-some thousand people were there.
That was
just
crazy.
Just to show up in a spontaneous fun-filled celebration.
Many of the players on the field from that team still call that the coolest moment.
They do. They really do. 1989.
Well, yeah, I think it was a great deal for both parties. You know, I think you can't pick a better team to go to than the Minnesota Vikings. You know, I'm going to miss Dallas a great deal. There's a lot of people here that I really love, I really respect.
The Cowboys traded
Herschel Walker.
It was hard to
became a Minnesota Viking here today.
Oh, that trade!
The Vikings, the Herschel Walker trade. It's really hard to go at 6 future draft picks, 5 players. We thought we had the missing piece for a Super Bowl run. That was not the case.
No,
I mean you could question whether we knew how to use him or not. In that, was it the Bob Schnelker offense? Was Bob Schnelker calling
probably.
The plays? And then eventually it was, what's his name, Moore, and they brought in other guys to try and get it done.
You could question Mike Lynn's sanity.
Right, exactly. So that was in 1989. 1997.
It looked like nothing more than a piece of paper floating in the water, but it's all that's left of the experimental fiberglass plane that carried singer-songwriter John Denver to his death. Eyewitnesses say it plunged from the sky.
John Denver died on this date. His experimental plane crashed into Monterey Bay, just 53. I remember when that happened. I was very sad.
Yeah, that was a
sad
day.
John Denver, 1997. Let's remember.
You are a meathead. I'm meathead, dead from the neck up. Meathead.
Let's think about Meathead here today. Meathead, Rob Reiner's still with us, but Meathead got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, Rob Reiner.
Pretty cool.
This date in 99, then 5 years ago.
Officials in Zimbabwe said that Dr. Walter Palmer did not break the country's hunting laws. That means that top government officials are no longer pressing for the Twin Cities dentist to be extradited to Zimbabwe for killing Cecil the Lion.
It was 5 years ago we were dealing with
that.
The Walter Palmer, the dentist from Bloomington, and Cecil the Lion, 2015. Birthdays now. Such a soulful voice. Sam Moore of Sam and Dave, 85 today.
That duet he did with Conway is one of my favorites.
Rainy Night in Georgia.
Yeah, so good.
That is very good. Sam Moore, Sam and Dave, 85. Baseball player and commentator Tony Kubek. More Twins, 87 ALCS.
Throw to third. Out of they got Evans. Oh, and it doesn't happen often to an experienced base runner like Darryl.
It was a play that was caught.
So that's Tony Kubek providing the analysis and color commentary of that 87 American League Championship Series.
That was a strike by Buck 90.
That was the previous game to Game 5. That was Game 4.
Yeah.
And that was a pivotal role in a play because the Tigers were threatening in that game to tie it up and maybe tie the series up at 2 apiece. Instead, the Twins get that out. They roll the momentum. They go to 3-1, and then they win the series 4-1.
Yeah, Darryl Evans fell asleep there a little bit.
Good throw by Tim Laudner. And as Tony Kubek properly analyzed there, it was a called play. Tom Kelly told Juan Berenguer to throw it out of the strike zone so they don't get a swing, and they're going to immediately fire it down and get Darryl Evans napping. And it doesn't happen often to an experienced base runner like Darryl.
That was great.
Tony
was
Kubek,
really
85 today.
This moment won't last forever. And darling, we've all...
That tall drink of water, Susan Anton, is 70 today.
But where's the crime in killing time?
She did some acting. Of course, dated Dudley Moore, who was 5'2", and she was practically 6 feet. And here she is. She had a country hit. This was top 10 with Fred Knobloch.
Skylar
Knobloch and Overstreet.
Yeah. And Picard at one point.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard was in that group. Yes. SKONP. Scop. It was Scop at one point in time. Susan Anton is 70 here today. How about Hugh Jackman?
Who's the furball?
Hank McCoy. Secretary of Mutant Affairs.
Right, right. The secretary. Nice suit.
Henry, this is Logan. He's
Wolverine.
I hear you're quite an animal.
Look who's talking.
He's Wolverine.
He is.
You know, he had the blades coming out. He had the swords. What do you call those? The little, the fangs.
The Freddy Krueger
things. The Freddy Krueger. They're not fangs. Those are teeth.
Yeah.
Those claws. Yeah. They would come out. Of course, the hair. Super strength.
Yeah.
He had inhuman-type healing capabilities. Hugh Jackman. More than just the Wolverine, though, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's Boy from Oz. And
Real Steel, I enjoyed.
He was in a lot of good movies. He was a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
And almost to the point of being Shakespearean. He's 52.
Well, I got us a new manager.
But you had a manager.
No, he moved, so we had to get another one.
Congratulations. Who is it?
Dad.
Dad? You're kidding. How did you get Dad to manage Little League?
I don't know. But as soon as I find out, I'll tell you.
He was Nicholas Bradford, the little one, on Eight is Enough. Adam Rich, happy birthday, 52. You may hear these gals on our radio station, which is Bob FM, by the way. Playing the fiddle is Marty McGuire of the Dixie Chicks. They have shortened their name to just the Chicks. But when they did this song, they were the Dixie Chicks. She's 51 today. Kirk Cameron, one of the Seavers.
Where have you been?
Well, I just spent my last dime to fly 600 miles to Jamaica to get dumped by my girlfriend and punched in the eye.
You've caught a lousy travel agent.
Neil, you ever watch that Growing Pains show?
I watched it a few times. Not many.
I thought you only watch Gunsmoke. Well, so that's Kirk Cameron. He's the big 5-0. He was Mike Seaver. 50 today. One more here.
Hey, you want a s'more?
S'more what?
No, you want a s'more. I haven't had anything yet, so how can I have some more of nothing?
Shut up!
You're killing me, Smalls.
He was Smalls.
Oh, nice.
From the Sandlot, Tom Geary, 39. He's the one who lost his dad's Babe Ruth signed ball.
Sure.
Across he hit a bomb, like just a long home run over the fence, and then that huge dog just was protecting it.
Right.
A lot of people say Sandlot is their favorite baseball movie. I don't see it. I mean, I'm Field of Dreams, I'm Major League, I'm Bull Durham, and then maybe Sandlot somewhere around number 5.
There wasn't enough baseball in Sandlot to call it a baseball movie, was there?
No.
They were always trying to get the ball from the dog.
They're trying to get that ball back from the beast.
From James Earl Ray's dog.
James Earl Jones. James Earl Ray, the guy who shot. Was he in that movie?
I think he was.
Anyway.
When he escaped.
Did you find out who was the more episodes of Name That
Tune? Jim Lang was only 84, 85.
That's because he went over to Bullseye.
Yeah,
that's why.
He did a lot. And Tom Kennedy was from 74 to 81, so he did a 7-year run there.
Way to go, Tom Kennedy.
Yeah, nice
job. And again, he's now dead, the age of 93.
All right, the gone but not forgotten category. We start with Baseball Hall of Famer. He was the American League president for many years. The Jim Rice foul ball that I got was signed by Joe Cronin, who was the American League president, I think. Or was that Lee McPhail? Joe Cronin was at one point, I believe. 1906. Remember Arthur Space from Lassie?
Whenever Lassie was injured, they'd call on Doc.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hello, Dr. Weaver.
Lassie girl.
I'm glad to see you, Dr. Weaver.
I got here as fast as I could, Timmy.
Way to go, Timmy.
Lassie got shot.
Oh, no.
Lassie was shot on this very special episode, and Doc Weaver barely brought Lassie back from the brink of death.
Lassie was resilient.
Yep.
Way to go. Good girl. So that dude, that man, was Arthur Space, 19.
You'll be glad to know that you called him a dude.
A dude. Let's see. We have Luciano Pavarotti, one of the three great tenors. That's pretty good. Do you have some cowbell you could add?
Not today, Neil.
Okay. Well, that was a good thought. 1935. I think he's the most well-known to me, Pavarotti. The most well-known of the three.
Or Placido Domingo.
Yeah, they're all both in there.
I can never remember the third one.
Yeah, nobody can. 1935. He was a member of the Temptations, Melvin Franklin, born on this day, 1942. And for once, my staff did not forget a wrestler.
The American Dream.
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
The world's heavyweight title belongs to these people. I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering of the biggest body.
One part wrestling interview, one part televangelist, and one part political speech, basically.
The love that was given me, and this time
he was one of the best, mostly in the southern U.S. He was southeast wrestling mostly.
Yeah.
Every now and then you'd see him, and then in the national side with the WWF back in the day.
Dusty Rhodes is that grappler, born on this day, 1945, and they're all gone, but not forgotten.
His son was Gold Dust.
Nice.
Would you like to start your Bob-a-thon with a song from Phil Vassar, Just Another Day in Paradise? We could go with Patti Loveless, You Will, or Alabama, Give Me One More Shot.
Let's do that Phil Vassar number.
KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud, KBGY Faribault, KLCIL.